You know, I had a privilege, I think, in this room and in the futures, I had a lifestyle of growing up that was unique. My dad was a cowboy, so I grew up on ranches along the Gulf Coast of Texas. I lived in Harris County, Waller County, Matagorda County, Jackson County. Lived on different ranches. That's really the only lifestyle I knew until I went into college and my eyes began to open up to some of the realities of life that I had been blocked growing up. There are lots of privileges in growing up on ranches. You know, we always had lots of space to go out to, and I loved to hunt, and I got my first .22 when I was probably 7 or 8, and Daddy taught me safety, and I'd go out in the woods and take that .22, and if it moved, I shot it. I see now the error of my way. But if it moved, it was subject to be shot at. Didn't mostly hit it, but I'd shoot at it. But growing up, as I got older, then my responsibilities became more with my dad, going with him and doing different things. And when I was 10 or 11, there was less play time and more work time as I got older. And in the first few years, it was not too bad, but I got into my teenage years, 14 or 15, 16, when I knew where we were going, I didn't necessarily want to sit by the door. I wanted to sit in the middle. Because I knew where we were going, there were going to be some gaps to open. And I wasn't so fond about getting out and opening some gaps. Most gaps you just walked up to, put a little weight against the post. I'm not going to sit here try and explain what a gap looks like because in the end I would probably be confused. But the gap was you'd push the post and slip over the wire that was on the corner post and you open the gap and spread it out and you'd drive through it, or in some cases you would ride through it with your horse and go in and gather the cattle in that particular pasture, drive them out, et cetera, et cetera. And so that was pretty easy, but except on a cold day, a rainy day, I kind of let the college guys who worked for Daddy sit by the door. That was well planned. And unless there were two college guys, they sat in the front and I was in the back, which meant I had to open a gap. But we need to understand that a gap is only there to keep something in or keep something out. A gap is caused because it is designed for a particular purpose. I'm not talking about a gate. I'm not talking about a gate that's on hinges that you can open up. I'm talking about a gap that's made of wire, has a post where the wire is tied into one end, and then you have it next to a corner post, and then you have a piece of wire that circles the corner post and then holds the gap wood, the post up, and that holds it up, and it has a purpose more than a gate. With a gate, if you don't have something to keep the wind from blowing it, you're always fighting the wind, and if you've got someone up by the gate with cattle coming, you have a good chance of not driving them out of that pasture. So a gap is something good. So we want to look today about closing the gap. Now, I have had a gap in my teeth all my life. When I was younger, if you were within 6 feet of me and you bothered me, if I had a glass of water, I could hit you with spit. Okay, that gap came in handy at one time. That's just part of me. I mean, the gap is because my teeth don't come together. That's a gap. In football, you have gaps between the linemen. And the defensive players are told sometimes to shoot the gap. They want to close that gap to hopefully shut down the running game. So there's all kind of gaps. I'm sure if we were to go around the room, we'd have lots of definitions of what a gap is. But what we're going to look at today is closing the gap. We're going to be using as our text this morning, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. I will be reading it out of the NIV Bible. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Key verse number 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he has done. So closing the gap. We have to understand that closing the gap, sometimes it's there without our doing. In other words, a gap for like when I was growing up, the gap was there. I didn't have to build it. It was there. I had to manipulate it, if you will, to open it. But we have 3 points this morning, and they are the reason for the gap, the victory of the gap, and the walk in the gap. And we have to understand that there is a reason for the gap. And the reason is because of Adam and Eve and the fall of the garden. Most of you know the story in that God had given instructions to Adam and Eve that they could eat of anything in the garden. Anything was allowed. But they could not eat from the tree in the center of the garden and the fruit that was in it. Up to that point, they had a perfect relationship between Adam and Eve and God. There was no sin. There was no understanding of what sin. It was a perfect setting. God lived with Adam and Eve. They lived with God. There was perfect harmony. There was no sin. There was open communication between God and His creation, Adam and Eve. But then came along one of God's creations, the serpent. God is not, I want to make this clear, God is not the author of sin. But He gave the opportunity for creation, man and woman, to have choices in their lives. And what happened is that the serpent came along that we find in Genesis and deceived Eve. If we look at that in Genesis chapter 3, look at the first few verses. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Stop right here. We want to understand something. At this point, we are fully aware that Eve knew the difference between right and wrong. Because even though the serpent had challenged Eve and misusing God's instruction, she repeated the instruction back to the serpent and knew full well that she was not supposed to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. To the point that the serpent even said, surely you won't die. And that's what he says in verse 4 and goes on. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. To make a long story short, she did take the fruit, she did eat it, gave some to her husband. Behold, they realized their eyes were open, they recognized that they were naked, they sewed leaves onto them, and then when God came that evening, says, where are you? And they said, "We are naked." God asked, "How do you know that you're naked?" And so we have to understand that the reason for the gap is the choice that man made. And what happened, there was no gap, there was no fence line, if you will, between God and man. They had open communion with one another. When His creation, God and the man and woman sinned, there then created a gap between the relationship between God and man. The relationship became such a large gap because God is holy and cannot live with sin. It's not in His nature. And so there was then a gap created between God and man. A gap that will remain open for some time. Another important thing to remember is this gap, because of man's sin, because he is the creation, man has no ability, no resources, no amount of wisdom that he can close that gap between God and themselves, the creation. So the gap has to be closed by God in His initiation. And we see this in Genesis 3:15 as He begins to already point the way to Jesus. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Immediately, God began the process of restoring or attempting to restore a relationship that had been lost because of the choice of man and woman. There now existed a gap between that relationship, and that gap was now open. That's why there's a gap between God and man. It's because of the sin that was committed by man. So that is the reason for the gap. Now we need to see the gap, the victory over the gap. We've read Genesis 3:15. God immediately began to put into place a plan for a restoring the relationship between Himself and man. The clear thing we have to understand, there is no one in this room, there's no one in the past, present, or future that will have the ability to restore anything with God. It has to be on God's initiation that relationships are established and empowered. They have to be by God. It can't be by man. Man can have the benefit of that, but he can never initiate it. Like John last week when he preached, he had a bunch of notes in his Bible showing different scriptures. I'm going to be doing the same thing with the same thing that John said. He cannot hit every scripture. I know that as I go through these three or four scriptures, as we look at the victory of the gap, you will think of other scriptures that will reinforce it even more. So this is by no means an exhaustive list. It is just a partial list of why we have victory in the gap. Okay, we have victory over the gap. We saw the Genesis 1 or 3 passage. Let's look at Isaiah 9:6, which is a very familiar passage that we read during Christmas. Looking at verses 9, 6, and 7. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So we begin to see that God is acting, and there are other passages we could have used, but now I just want to fast forward in the interest of time. I want to go to the New Testament. Look up John 3:16. We'll be looking at 16 through 18. Again, very, very familiar passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now listen, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. We're starting to see here now in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, we see the reason why John is able to put it in a way that it's easily understandable, that God so loved the world. It did not say man loved the world enough that he was willing to give of himself. I want to make it perfectly clear. This has nothing to do with any effort on our part. This initiation is entirely by God. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It's nothing that any of us have done, any of our forefathers done, or any after us will be able to do to be able to say that. It was for God the Creator, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Why did he give his one and only Son? So that we could be restored to God in a relationship and know that as a result of that, we would have eternal life. And so we can see here that the accomplishment, because John is writing this after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the ascension, and the Holy Spirit had come upon his disciples. His disciples now had a full understanding because of the gift of the Holy Spirit to what God had done for them through his Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we cannot take any credit. The victory over the gap has been closed. The victory is not on any part of us. The victory of the gap being closed between man and God, between Creator and creation, has been closed because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Only upon the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. None of us have anything of value to bring to God that would cause us to be raised up like Jesus Christ. There is nothing, we can't cook enough meals, sing enough songs, preach enough sermons. We cannot do enough of anything, even if it's in the name of Jesus Christ, to reestablish that relationship, but only by the work of Jesus Christ. Only. One of my favorite passages, I can remember a long time ago when we had a Bible study of Colossians 2:7. Dan Wilkerson and I were the only ones to be in the same translation at that time, and that was the NSAB. Is that right, Dan? I think so. And so we had all these memory verses we had to do, and we did a bunch of them. Dan probably remembers them all. I don't. I'd have to look them up. But one of the ones that Dan and I, I remember Dan and I talking about this, and I've heard Dan talk about this before. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace, God's unmerited favor. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Jerry Bridges defines faith as a renouncing of yourself and the reliability upon Jesus Christ. That's what he says faith is. Renouncing yourself and rely upon Jesus Christ for everything. And so let's continue on through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift card. No, it says it is a gift. And what did it cost you to get that gift? Not a thing. What did it cost God to give this gift? It cost Him His Son. But He gave it to us as a gift. And again, as I've already said, it's not by anything that we can do. It's not by works. So that no one can boast. You follow what we're saying here? The gap. There is victory over the gap, and that victory only comes through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. So the first point, the reason for the gap. The second point is the victory over the gap. The third point is the gap, the walk in the gap. Now here's some other reasons why I wanted to sit in the middle when we went around the ranch. Or ranches that we lived on. Some of you, probably the short guy in the back, Andy Crane, will recognize that gaps are not always able to be pushed with one's hand or shoulder to undo the wire. Sometimes those gaps are so tight that on the opposite side, if you're driving up to the gap where the pastures on the inside. And on the inside of the pasture side, there is wrapped around the post a piece of barbed wire. On the end of that barbed wire could be a club, a stick, a broom, not a broom handle, but an axe handle. If it's so tight that you have to have one of those to open the gap, and it's still hard, I have got my skin pinched several times in that wire, if it's that tight. But now we're talking about a harder gap. Now we're walking in the gap. There's victory in the gap. But see, God doesn't want our sacrifices. He wants our what? Obedience. What's harder, sacrifice or obedience? Obedience to me is much, much harder. Now, I could sit here and ask you all these questions because the questions, I told Pastor John, I said, I need a big mirror here because for everybody to know, I'm talking to myself. This is what I'm going through right now as I see my relationship with God. And see, I have to close the gap between what I read in Scripture and what I do from reading that Scripture. It tells us in James a while ago that we should be doers of the Word, not just listeners of the Word. We need to be able to talk and let our walk be closer together with our talk. We need to close the gap in our relationship with God from reading the God's Word and putting God's Word into action. That God's Word is the influence in our life and not CNN. That God's Word influences our life and not the newspaper. Not saying all those things are bad. But what we have in the Scripture is it doesn't change. if CNN or the newspaper changes publishers or editors or whatever, and they have a different slant on things, it can change the mindset of the newspaper or the CNN. But God never changes. So if we have bought in, if you will, if we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, who should we be obeying? The newspaper, being influenced by the newspaper, or CNN, or by God's Word? We need to be more influenced by God's Word. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand. What gift did Jesus Christ promise us when He was resurrected and ascended? He promised us what? The gift of what? The Holy Spirit. This is one responsibility that you have in your relationship with God. God is always permanent. We're the one that has to do the moving. We are the ones that have to close the gap. But we need to understand one thing. We have to do it by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. Though we need to be doing it, we have to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to be able to draw closer to God and to take His Word into our hearts that we can become and have a better relationship with God. Now, saw this recently. We believe the newspapers, but we question the Bible. That's what America is. They believe the newspapers. They question the Bible. Or as I've heard someone say recently in their conviction of what they believe, well, Oprah says, okay, Oprah is the gospel to a lot of people. Whatever's on her show, that must be the truth. I saw this as a kid a lot, and I'm sure it's present today. We can be fired up for Jesus on the Sabbath. We can be absolutely fired up for Jesus on the Sabbath, but we become an invisible Christian the rest of the week. We need to close the gap between how we feel about Jesus on Sunday and how we feel about Jesus the rest of the week when we're out in the community. I have, in my business, I do live radio ads on the radio. Obviously, if it's on radio, if it's a radio ad. And this whole last week when the Roger and Roy show called and I did my ad, I made sure of one thing. I told them about Jesus. I got more response from people calling in telling me, thank you for saying something about Jesus. They couldn't care what I was selling. I couldn't care what I was selling. But I did want to talk about Jesus. Now, I don't think nothing of it. I don't know how the listeners reacted to that. And if you ask me, I could care less. It was my $50. I spent the way I wanted. But we have to be bold in everything that we do to proclaim Jesus Christ. We cannot come in here on Sunday mornings, be fired up for 1 hour and a half by the singing, by the scripture, by the prayer, and by the preaching, and then we walk out the door, and the rest of the week we look like anybody else in the world. We conduct ourselves like anybody else in the world. We need to close the gap in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus has secured the victory. We have a secured victory in Jesus Christ that's eternal. We need to close our gap with Jesus Christ in taking God's Word to heart, because as we looked at the end of the James passage that we just read. Now I got to find James again. We look at James chapter 1. It says in verse 25, the latter part, "And you continue to look intently into the word, not forgetting what you've heard," I'm paraphrasing here, "but doing it, you will be blessed in what he does," what you do. Your blessings come from God and your obedience to him. Putting the word into action. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is a real short story. I don't know if I can tell short stories, but I am. Years ago, I remember we had just studied in a, I don't know if it's a sermon, I don't know if it was a Bible study, but remember Ananias and his wife, Sapphira? You know, they agreed to give everything in the selling of their land to the apostles. Okay? To those for the growth of the church. It was not for personal, but for the growth of the church. The taking care of those who were laboring for the church. Now, as you well know, the story is that they withheld part of their profits, if you will, from the selling of the land. They both met with consequences that were pretty dire. They died on the spot. I remember one day at the store, someone called, don't remember who it was, says, "Hey, can we meet for lunch?" This is 20 years ago. I said, "Sure." Had a young man there, was going to have to wait then at the store, and he was going to go to lunch. I said, "Look, you can have my lunch." Opened up the lunch pail Sandy had sent with me, and I saw a dessert in there I liked. I said, "You can have my lunch. Now look, I've already told him you can have my lunch." I said, "You can have my lunch except the dessert." So I'm going down College Avenue. I'm getting ready to pass the municipal lake, getting ready to cross Villa Maria, and the Holy Spirit hits me and says, "You acted just like Ananias. You promised something to somebody, and then you withheld some of it." See, that has to be a big thing. I went back to that young man who was working for me, and I sought forgiveness. And I gave him my dessert. Because I knew then that I acted just like Ananias. Do you see how simple it is? It doesn't have to be a big thing. But closing the gap doesn't mean big things. Closing the gap is doing the little things that bring honor and glory to your Maker, to God. Make sense? It's not the big things, because the big things will be big things. The little things are the foundation that you build on you understanding what the Word of God says to you and how you act upon it. So we have to close the gap in our relationship with God, and you do that by being obedient to His Word, reading His Word, but doing something with the Word besides just reading it. It's putting it into action as a part of your life. It has to be. Then God's Word is worthless if you don't. And it's not worthless. It's full of riches. Let's look at a couple of things and I'll close. It tells us in Psalm chapter 1 that we should walk in the counsel of good. We should not listen to the wicked. Let me read this right quick and I'm going to close just reading a few verses. "Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night." Okay? That is walking in the gap. There's lots of these. Looking at Jeremiah 7:23. It says, "And I gave them this command, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Walk in the ways I command you that it may go well for you." God doesn't give us cross signals. He gives us a clear message on how we are to act. He doesn't give us something to get in trouble. He gives us something that we will be blessed because of it. Look at 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. We have to understand that the God's Word, understanding of God's Word, will help us, though we'll always be sinners, but we'll be able to see that sin quickly and hopefully and prayerfully turn away from it more quickly. That we're purified not by what we do, we're purified because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we look at Colossians 1:10. It says, we pray this in order that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. We see in the Psalms, we walk in His counsel. We look in Jeremiah, we walk in the way that we obey Him. We walk in the light, and we walk in a way that's worthy of Him. This morning, we're going to be coming to the Lord's Supper. What a great place to close the gap. What a great place to come and recognize what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you, that He gave His blood and His body. He gave us the new covenant. That He has provided us grace, not because of anything we've done, because of His deed to us, His gift to us, Jesus Christ. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we draw closer to God by obeying God's Word, that we begin to make that gap smaller and smaller, and that we can come before God in full confidence, not of ourselves, but in full confidence of what Jesus Christ has done, that we will receive the blessings of God, whatever they might be, because they don't have to be so big that everybody sees them. They can be just small and just between you and God, and you can just receive the blessing. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that You have closed the gap through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for us, Father, that as we walk with You, we will close that even harder gap that we have in obeying You and putting into actions the words that You give us in Your Word. That we would indeed obey them. That we would indeed cherish them. That we would indeed enjoy them. That as they become a part of our very fabric, we can see You clear and clear and understand who You are more and more. Thank You, Father, for this time this morning. May You receive the praise, honor, and glory. And may Your name be lifted up on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.